Hey, you know what they say, right? More dumps, more problems. Am I right? Am I right? That's how it goes. Welcome to the voicemail dump truck on this Thursday, March 7th, 2024. My name is Jeff Bacalar, and I am thrilled beyond a shadow of a doubt to be joined by these three fine code dumpsters. Mr. Janicho, how are you?
I am fantastic. I am full of spice.
Great. I hope I'm not allergic. Jeff Grubb.
It's cinnamon, isn't it?
I hate cinnamon, but you know what I do not hate? The pride of Long Island himself, Mr. Matt Shipman. How are you?
I'm good, but that's so not true. so many more people come from Long Island than me. Are you allergic to spice? What was that bit?
Don't change the subject here. We're talking about the short list of prides of Long Island, and it's you and Billy Joel, and that's it.
Oh.
Is Billy Joel good company. Long Island?
Sure, I'll take it. You know,
I'm pretty sure he's a Long Island guy. He should be.
Why did I assume he was New Jersey?
No, that's Bruce. You're thinking of Bruce Springsteen.
Yes, I definitely knew Bruce was, but maybe I am also conflating the two. All right, fair enough.
Most people do. Billy Joel is without a doubt a Long Island.
Okay, all right, that sounds person. Right.
I'm not even on my high school's notable alumni list, though. So I don't know if that. Mariah Carey went to my high school. Apparently.
Oh,
okay,
that's pretty cool.
Mimi went to your high school. Cool.
Now I get it. Now I get why it's the whole pride thing. I get it now. If you're dealing with Mariah Carey, I understand.
Look, we've got a great show planned. I'm sure you realize that. That's why you hit play. You're excited. You're thrilled. You want to hear all about the voicemails, and you want to hear all about the ongoings, about what we're doing here. I know I shared with everyone my big reveal in the Jeff arc. We all know what's happening to me and only me and no one else. We all know that. Oh, Jen, why are you making a, why are you twisting your face?
I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about.
I'm more caught up on the fucking lore than you are, Jan. Come on.
I'm lost, but I'm also not really listening. So
wait the fuck on.
Well, that's grubbing.
Does what I say, like, go in one ear and out the other?
Backer, I got you, man. I was fucking shaving yesterday, listening to whatever fucking podcast that was. It's that your folks are living with you or something, right?
Oh, okay.
See, sure. Okay.
The East Coast people have to stick together.
Yeah, purple shirt. You know.
We're the only ones that understand each other.
I can't fucking imagine my family living with me. So
cool. Very Hell cool. Yeah. What a cool thing to.
We should all send our families
about.
To Jeff Bacalar's house. That's what we should do.
That is not what I am advertising. What I am saying, though, is that this is the last piece of content I will be making before they are here.
Oh.
And I just want everyone to know that, like, if shit changes next week, you know why.
I can't wait to see Lou in the background.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
What if Bacalar's suddenly, like, in a really good mood? And we're like, and then it's like, this is what he needed. He needed mommy
family.
And daddy. Yeah.
You know how sometimes Dylan will pop in and, like, just take over Bacalar's mic? What if that starts happening with Lou?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely very scared of anything that's, like, not, you know, an analog piece of equipment. So I'm not worried about that. But yeah, I mean, it happened yesterday with the Super Dan. I went to go pee-pee for 5 seconds and content, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just hopped on there. He took over.
What else is shaking in all your lives? There are a lot of people saying Sweet Lou on the voicemail dump truck. I can't promise you that, okay? That's his nickname. We call him Sweet Lou. You just have to deal with that. You'll learn more about that. But what else is going on in everyone else's lives? Please tell me.
My family started the 20th or so group chat because I stopped responding and silenced all of the other group chats that I was a part of. Not that I don't welcome them. I love my family. It's just, guys, we can only say good morning to each other so many times.
It does sound in some ways like you're not welcoming them, though. It sounds like maybe you're trying to actively avoid them.
No, okay, here's my problem. I text my grandma regularly. I think it's amazing that she knows how to use technology, and she uses, like, the appropriate emojis. But someone's got to get on homegirl's case, and I just realized I called my grandma homegirl, but that's fine.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Mm-hmm. That plays.
About, like, what she means when she says, I'm going to come over. Because if someone says, I'm coming over, I'm assuming they're coming over to my place. So then I panically realize, oh, no, I got a vacuum and clean so much crap up, and then it stresses my partner out. We're thinking like, oh no, we gotta put bring out the good pillowcases. And then, you know, it's an hour from when my grandma's set to come and everything. And then I'm like, I call my cousin that's bringing my grandma over, and it's like, yo, everything's good to go. Should I make tea or coffee for grandma? And then she was like, what? We're not going over to your house. What do you mean? We're going over somewhere else. And I'm like,
wait, how is she using the phrase, I'm coming over?
Yeah, what the fuck? I don't get it.
She meant like, yeah, I'm coming over to church.
And
it's like, what? That's the Lord's house, I guess. It's not my house.
Yeah, but I mean, there is a difference between coming and going. I think that's why we have both words.
Yeah. My grandma, I text her saying like, I thought you were coming over today. Bummed out. And then she doesn't respond to me. She leaves me on red because she has her read notifications on. And then she just texts me 2 days later. Hey, you can watch the parade on your phone. Did you know that?
What parade are you talking about? See, it sounds like there is also some kind of like generational divide going on where like my dad is just not like a texter, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's just like a call person. And then, you know, you lose the first 15 minutes of your life there, like all the time. And you're just like, I didn't need to discuss the weather with you. We only live an hour apart. Certainly it's similar to where you are, Dad. Is it not? Right. And now when he calls, I get scared. Right. I'm like, what's up? Is everything okay? Like, you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. Whoa, are you okay? And I'm sorry, Dad. You're at that age where like, I freak out every time you call. It's basically like, okay, who's dead? You know, who died?
even though he calls you, you're saying usually when you talk to him, it's via the phone.
Yeah, like,
but even though that precedent has been set, still think something bad has happened every time.
Yes. Okay. I know. Okay. Cool, right? It's cool. it's a very cool thing I have going on. I just want to do group chats. You know, I just want to do that. That's all.
Okay. I don't. That sounds horrible. I don't want to watch Jan
fix the call right now. I'm sorry. Listen, I like to do group chats, but I'm also with Jan where like a few too many of them are overwhelming. Although I don't have to mute any of them. I do just. And maybe this is a superpower. I can just ignore things and just let them sit there and have the notification pop off. No, and it's like, that means nothing to me. I've decided this means nothing to me. And so it means nothing to me.
Are you Jan's grandma in secret? Or?
Yeah. And by the way, I'm coming over later. So watch out.
Oh, okay. Well, I did not clean this time.
what a wildly different dynamic. Like if I were to just ignore something, I would be guilted for like,
oh no,
literal
I'm guilted
month.
Frequently, like, but I used to be guilted, and now people just recognize that that's just the way it is. So mostly the guilting has stopped. I've also had to decide the guilting didn't bother me, which that was a big thing. That took some time.
That's big of you.
Yeah, thank you.
I love the my first memory of Emmy meeting my family, and then her slowly looking over to me and like, they're all just like you, and you guys are all really loud. And I'm like, what do you mean by that? And then she was like, you guys are just excited about everything together.
See, and then, that sounds nice.
But yeah. To hammer it home how similar the Ochoa side of my family is, this is in one of the group chats. My aunt texts, there's always time for coffee. And then another picture of a dog drinking coffee. It's all in my blood, folks.
Yeah. Like that is just Jan right there. Dog.
Yeah, that is
drink
the Ochoa
coffee.
Genes. Yeah.
Wow. It's just you can't do anything about it. It's just who you are. It's baked into the DNA. I love it. Shipman, if you have anything else to add, are you a good boy? What's your deal?
Am I a good boy? Damn, I don't know. Is that up to
I'm
me?
A bad boy. Grub seems like he's okay with being a bad boy.
Yeah,
man's a good boy.
I shall not be judged. You can't judge me.
Is this just in general or in relation to like texting and talking to our family?
The latter.
All right, okay.
Yeah,
good
boy.
That makes a little more sense.
Boy?
Thanks. I just call my mom like fucking once a week on the phone. I don't really text with any of them.
That's a show all it should off? Be. Jesus.
That's all it should be, though.
Is that something to show off? Okay. Yeah. Cool. Right, so,
no, yeah. Like, I think that's all it should be. That's all it takes for a good boy, right?
I guess I was a bad boy in college when I didn't do that.
Oh, I was a bad boy in college, yes.
That's the time to be a bad boy.
I was a piece of shit in college.
Speaking of bad boys and bad girls, my kids do have like the teacher parent conferences right now, and Steph's at one of them right now, this other one we're like waiting to hear from the teacher, and she's got like some like, you know, the standard stuff where it's like, a learning plan to help her with some stuff because she's got the vision, and so we're like waiting to get update on this stuff, and she's like, no, we only do that with the kids that need it, and I'm like, wait, you seen this? We're like cool, like everything is cool at school. There's zero things that you as the teacher of my child want to talk to me about. I don't, like, it's a little weird, but I'm like, that sounds like the ideal scenario. But I don't know. Should I go in there and be like, tell me she's being good? Do I go in there and demand like that? I don't know what to do here.
Huh. You've got a situation that I think perhaps you're overanalyzing, or maybe you're doing your due diligence as a concerned parent, right?
Yeah, I'm just, it was the first time that we're in a situation where it's like, before this, it was always just like, we just do this no matter what.
Sure, sure.
So to like have it be like, oh, we might not do it. Now, to be fair, she's being kind of a little bastard at home. So I'm like, okay, that's why I'm a little bit like surprised. So I'm like, but no, behavior, everything is cool at school. But apparently, I don't know. I'm a little surprised by it. That's all.
Maybe that's just her home persona. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I think she's
dude, that's
like,
a thing.
Yeah, getting big in the britches. She is definitely, maybe she saw Dib on content and she's like, I could be like that.
I want to be over.
These Nepo babies, I swear, man.
I like your concern. You're doing the right thing. You're playing it right. Your head's in the right spot. Good job. You're a good boy.
We'll see.
Yeah. Well,
why
as you can tell, this
good boys this week.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm in my good boys argument. My friends and I just used to call ourselves nice boys. Yeah, we're just nice boys. You know, we're just nice boys, like trying to do our thing, just trying to, you know, be good. And that's what we're trying to do on this voicemail dump truck. Because, as you probably already know, this is a call-in show. Our phone number is 707-EXIT-FLU. That's a transition, and that is certainly something I'm proud of. I'm sorry. In the corner of my eye, I caught what all the cameras looked like for a second as we went into our dump mode. On the live show that you can check out on Twitch and on giantbomb.com. We are going to answer as many voicemails as we possibly can in like, I don't know, the next 45 minutes or so. 707 exit flu is the number. And obviously the pride of Long Island is going to pick the first one.
The goodest boy.
The goodest of boys, the nicest of boys Mr. Matt Shipman.
Well, thank you so much. I'm going to go with Charles Entertainment Cheese.
So how did Chuck E. Cheese actually become successful? Because it's a rat-based restaurant. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good bit. Like, I would start with that.
Yeah, but when has that held back any form of, like, there's Disney's mouse-based and... So many cartoons involve rodents of various kinds, and they're all it's like no like, one's ever like disgusting. They carry disease. Everyone's like, yeah, it's a fictional character. I understand what's happening here.
It's a lot of cereal mascots that are rodents too.
Yeah.
We just look the other way. You know, I think obviously if you're the face of a chain of pizza restaurants, you know, it's like, yeah, that's a little unclean organically, but like, I don't know. I think it's fair.
It never occurred to me. Like, I never thought about it that way.
Where did Chuck E. Cheese start? Because, like, I'm thinking rats and pizza. I'm like, yo, New York, baby.
Nolan Bushnell started it. So I wonder if he started in California because he would have been out in California by then. It started in New York. Okay, wow.
Oh, it did start in New York.
Hey.
It started in New York?
Yeah.
How the fuck? Honestly, people throw Mr. Bushnell under the bus, but, like, you start a rat-based pizza franchise in New York?
That's
a win, baby.
Yeah, that's just synergizing with the city there. Absolutely.
You know? Backler, was Chuck E. Cheese a big thing in your youth, or you had aged out of that?
No. What are you saying?
I'm just saying, you were not the key demographic for Charles
By the time it came around, you were already, what, 50, 60 years old, right back there?
Yeah, Grub, I'm 68. That's me. I don't, like, it wasn't even a thing where I grew up. Like, I don't even know where there was one. Like, they were not within striking distance of where I grew up in Jersey. So, I don't know.
We had one, but we went to a place that, and I know there's other things called this, Major Magics, but ours was just a Chuck E. Cheese, but instead of a rat, it was a military major in a red costume. But they still had all the animatronics, and he would sing and dance and all that stuff. And I think they
had a general?
When he was a major, right? Major Magic, so he was a major. Is that a major general? I don't know. But yeah, it had the pizza. I think it had go-karts outside or something like that, or that might have been the place next door. But it was, for all intents and purposes, it was basically just a Chuck E. Cheese. And I liked the place. I enjoyed that a lot as a kid. It was like, I could tell going there was a cost prohibitive. It would add up quick for my parents. So we didn't go there very frequently. And like, I could still get them to like maybe let me go into like Tilt at the mall and play arcade games there a little bit more frequently. But when I did go there, I had a good time. The pizza was fine. So yeah, I like these places.
Nice.
Do you think that was like a recruitment effort? Like, why was it military themed? What the?
Well, I mean, like, Major Magic was the one member of the military. I should see it, because I don't remember anyone else in the band being a military themed, but
dishonorably discharged.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It was Michigan, so it could have been like a Michigan militia situation. He could have just been starting his own military. So
just refused to ditch the uniform. It was just like, I know I'm not supposed to wear this in public, but I fucking love it.
Oh man, is it still open? Man,
What's it called? I'm sorry, you said
Major,
it like five times.
Major Magic's in Clinton Township, Michigan. There are, if you guys look up some pictures of the animatronics, it is like a drum that plays himself, and a stand up bass guitar maybe, or a cello that plays himself, and it kind of looks like my dad.
Oh, this sucks!
I don't like that.
Well, this is a trigger warning for content warning.
I love these guys. Yeah,
content warning. Ooh, I don't like the stand up bass guy who plays himself.
Yeah, the drum and the stand up bass guy play themselves. And there's a fox over there, I think.
Like the beauty and the beastification of all these musical instruments.
Oh yeah,
I'm just seeing all of these guys now.
Yo,
is that a tree?
This place is cursed.
Oh, and there's the bear guys. Yeah, the bears sing. And I think like it was like three different concerts. So like the lights would be on like the instruments for a while, and it would be on Major Magic and like his cohort, and then like then it would go over to the bears, and then occasionally all of them would sing at once. Wow,
I just need to say,
was open as late as 2020, and I don't think it's open anymore.
The Monopoly Man adjacent presentation of Major Magic on the billboard is an adorable drawing.
Oh, yes. Man.
The real-life robotification of Major Magic is a goddamn horror show.
Have you seen the Lady Fox? Oh, my God, this walrus that you can climb into that is basically the Mayor McCheese pizza thing from the McDonald's. I can't go on. I'll have to just get these images somewhere.
He's like, I'm not gonna explain. I'm just gonna find a picture.
Do you know the Mayor McCheese thing that kids would get stuck in on the McDonald's play place, the early one? It looks like one of those that has been repainted to have a walrus man coming out of it instead. Childhood was weird in the 80s, everybody. I don't know how else to explain this.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking of this the other day, where a friend was saying like, yeah, sometimes I just got to put Coco Melon on for the kids.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Coco Melon looks absolutely disgusting. That child looks gross.
Yes.
Yeah,
children's like online based entertainment is kind of a horror show. It is like a freak parade, and a lot of it's like just randomly computer generated nonsense. And I'm kind of into it. It's actually pretty cool.
But then I look at stuff like Major Magic here and this sexy Lady Fox, and it's like, oh no, it's all the same. Oh god,
it is a Lady Fox in like a velour tracksuit. It's just got a wig. That's a hell of a thing. That was from I was a child when I looked upon that thing for the first time. No wonder there are so many furries. Like, that makes all the sense in the world now. They did this to us, of course we are.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, like, look at Sean, right?
Look at Sean. Yeah.
They do have a good selection of pinball, turns out. So, points for that.
Is that an organ with a face? Sorry, yep. I just looked
almost,
again.
Certainly is. Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Terrifying.
Gorilla playing the drums, I think.
Do y'all think there is like a space for these animatronic kids restaurants to come back? Or has
after Five Nights at Freddy's
like
why
ruined that though?
I mean to me it's like they should be more popular than ever. I don't get it.
I don't know. I think obviously, like, Dave and Buster's still works very well.
Sure.
Yeah, but, like, the animatronics with Five Nights at Freddy's feels like a world in which, like, you could even be a little subversive with it and, like, actually have them, like, break down or actually, like, do a Halloween night one where they actually are haunted.
Oh, that's
and kids
good.
Would,
yeah,
and kids
that
would
be
go
cool.
wild for that, I think.
But, yeah, but I don't think, like, the attraction to Five Nights at Freddy's is like, I wish this was a thing in real life. Like, I don't know if there's that connection. Do you know what I mean?
I wish they would kill me so bad.
I wish a robot would murder me.
No, you're probably right. There's probably,
yeah, I don't know.
I think, like, you could, there's no world in which there is, you know, 10 of these in every state, once again. Like, that's not happening.
Right.
But I think one or two in, like, L.A. and on the East Coast and stuff like that, I think that could still work.
Yeah. So, like, birthday parties now for kids, like, Dave and Buster's is pretty much off the radar, like, at this point. Like, I've been to a couple, but it's, like, it's Nerf parties, okay? Do you know what that is?
No. It's just, like, a game where,
Nerf.
Yeah, where everyone shoots each other with Nerf guns?
Yes, but, like, at a place that's designed for it.
Oh.
So it's basically, like, American Gladiators-size space where they have, like, infinite guns and infinite ammo, and these, like, two, you know, high school kids organize Capture the Flag for, like, 38-year-olds.
38-year-olds?
Well, 38-year-olds.
Specifically.
Daryl's out there again, everybody. Look at him go.
38-year-olds.
And his alimony payments.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And then there's a lot of like trampoline parties now.
Oh, okay, yeah. Those are pretty big here in SF also.
Yeah, trampoline, ice skating, and
okay.
I don't know what.
So which things from our kids are still going? Because like the roller rink was a big thing when I was a kid.
Yes, roller rink. There, yes, that is still a thing, believe it or not.
No, I do because like roller skating, not even like rollerblading is like passe now. Roller skating is very popular, at least in chicy circles, like in trendy circles. It seems like roller skating is big.
I believe that. Yeah. Bowling, I haven't been to a bowling thing. That seems like it's on its way out or just not as popular.
Really?
A lot of like arcades, a lot of like all you can eat arcades, you know, like we said with the Dave and Buster's. But yeah,
are we talking like child attractions? Like
okay, how about, you
stuff,
know what, how about any third
ones?
Place? Because that's like the big conversation
God,
right
no,
now.
They
like
don't exist.
Yeah, we don't have third places anymore, right? So you have an option to go to an overpriced bar, an overpriced restaurant, and Dave and Buster's, and that's kind of it.
This is my fucking third place, my booth that I'm
yeah,
in.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Just pretend it's not inside my house.
Chuckle Fucks is my third place.
Okay. There will be some days on the website where, like, I just won't leave this general vicinity. I'll go to the kitchen real quick, grab a glass of water, some more coffee, and then, like, I won't have touched anything else in the house. And then my partner will come back and, like, have you done anything today? What's going on? I'm like, I did do work. I'm working all the time. It's over here, though.
Uh-huh.
Where else would you work?
I know. What, are we going to go to the library and podcast?
He's going to be really quiet.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Welcome.
It's Tuesday.
Oh, God. All right. Well, thank you, caller, for putting us on that trajectory. And Jan, please choose the next voicemail.
I'll pick it because I don't think anyone else will. Maybe chat. Chubby Hispanic kid.
Okay.
Hey, Dumpers. When I was in elementary school, there was this one kid who would always eat just like a whole pack of Sunkist tuna for lunch. So now every time I smell tuna, I think of this chubby Hispanic kid. What is the weirdest, like, sense memory association you guys have?
I did, while we were streaming earlier today, Jan, I got some whiff of some combination of smells because there's no way that this is, like, anything. But it's, like, the perfumes that my mom and my, like, sister-in-law were wearing when I was a kid when we went to go visit Spain, And somehow, like, that got triggered while I was streaming today, and I'm like, it smells like Spain right now. Right now smells like Spain. And it's impossible to explain that, so I didn't bring it up during the podcast or during the stream, so I just waited until now when it makes even less sense to do it. Yeah.
That kind of exact thing happened to me like a week ago, though, where I was in my home. I think I had just heated up a fucking factor meal or whatever, and so there's smells everywhere, but I got the scent of a studio that is no longer in business that I worked at. Like, they've moved locations, right? And the old location had a certain scent, not like a particularly bad scent or anything, just whatever. And somehow the combination of smells in my house plus that food equaled that. And I was like, whoa, I'm back in there for the first time in 5 years.
Isn't that amazing? I like, everyone knows that, like, memory associated with smells, like, obviously a thing, but like, until it like really happens, it is like, jaw-dropping, right?
Yeah, it is because, like, the, you know, the smell is like directly in your brain, right? It is like the most connected to your brain part of our sensory like suite, and so it's like when you are forming memories, it's like, yeah, that's the same part of your brain that is smelling. So I think that's why it's so strong.
Like, I was at, you know, my parents' house a couple weeks ago for the last time, and I went through some shit that instantly made me smell my grandparents' place in Florida. Like, it was like this mothball-y kind of like preservative thing that I don't know what it is, but I was instantly transported to like being 9 years old in Boca. And that is what like happened to me.
You're about to have, like, that in your house now.
Relax, Maddie. What are we doing here? But yeah, like, holy shit. It was weird.
Becca, are you just Costanza? What is going on here? Like,
honestly, dude, like, yes.
It's worse characters to be compared, dude, to.
Like, I'm not proud of that, but like, yeah, that, you know, like, yeah.
Just a nice boy. Just a nice boy.
Just trying to be a nice boy, you know?
Anytime I smell raw chicken, I get transported back to the sandwich shop I worked at, specifically when it caught on fire. Well, just because I was cutting up chicken at the time it caught on fire.
Ooh. Yeah, it's like, it's that simple. It's like, it doesn't have to be more connected than that. It's just like the thing you were doing at the time.
I don't, this isn't the same thing, but like, I remember being in high school and having some sort of teriyaki chicken at a friend's house, and it was like, it made me sick somehow. I don't know if it was like not cooked right or whatever, but I didn't feel good afterwards. Not like teriyaki. I wasn't like throwing up or anything, but I just felt nauseous. And for like probably 5-6 years after that, the thought of teriyaki made me sick.
Yep.
And it was definitely not the sauce. It was definitely the chicken. The association kind of fucked it up.
That is not dissimilar. Like, I had that. I didn't eat sushi for 2 years because of a similar thing.
Mm.
Like, very, very aggressive thing it can do to your appetite, for sure.
To this day, I still feel like gagging anytime I smell grenadine. Because...
Wait, the red syrup?
Yeah, the red syrup. It's like cherry-flavored syrup, right?
Yeah, it's delicious. What do you mean?
Second day in a row on a podcast where grenadines come up, but keep going.
Really?
I mean, teriyaki's good, too, but, like, you have a horrible traumatic experience with it.
No, you're right, Matt, you're right, but this is like sugar. Go on, Jen, I must hear this.
it's basically my 21st birthday. I thought it'd be a great idea to just make jungle juice or like, a big... For folks that don't know what jungle juice is, it's basically just, like, a garbage cocktail where you throw in whole bottles of alcohol, juice, mixers, whatever else behooves you.
Right.
And then,
right.
God bless my friend, one of my best friends. He was like, guys, I came loaded. And then he slams on the table 6 bottles of grenadine. we have to tell him.
6 bottles?
Oh, that's horrible, actually.
That's too much grenadine.
Okay. Never mind. I understand now.
We're like, bro, grenadine isn't alcoholic. Yeah. What do you?
But he's looking he's making a mocktail, right? Out of the trash juice, whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah. Virgin colada. Yeah. No rum.
And then he was like, oh, no wonder they didn't ID me. Shit.
I mean, dude, Shirley Temple's. Till I die.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah. That's is that a fucking grenadine? East Coast thing? I fucking love Shirley Temple.
Yeah, 7-Up and grenadine. That's it. you know?
But yeah, I
love it.
Because I yacked so bad that night because of all the alcohol. A major component that I tasted and smelled was grenadine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, the strongest component usually coming back up is going to be what you remember. What's the cinnamon alcohol drink? Like Fireball or?
Oh, yep, Fireball.
God, is that what it is? Yeah. My early drinking, that's the kind of stuff your asshole friends will bring over. And my buddy basically drank the whole bottle. And we're at my parents' house. And I found out later after, like, we were up all night. And I, like, went up to, like, the first floor bathroom, like, right next to my parents' nice kitchen. And I will, like, open it up and just sprayed everywhere, like a blood splatter pattern. It's just red puke vomit mist all over the bathroom, and so I was fine, but I did not want to drink that anymore ever after having to clean that up. That was like
you're
miserable.
Probably better off never having Fireball ever again.
I was like actually good from the start with that one. I'm like, I don't need my alcohol to be cinnamon flavored. Thanks.
I'm pretty sure it was banned in Europe at some point. Still is. I don't know. Maybe like mid 2010s for containing a material found in antifreeze. I believe. Deemed it to be not Jesus. Cool for humans.
Yeah, definitely not cool. My partner's cousin, whenever he's in town visiting from the Philippines, he always tells me, "Yo, Kuya Jan, I love being in your car because it smells like San Francisco."
Aww.
But then the thing is, if you say that to some other native San Franciscans, that will come off as an insult.
Yeah, you smell like human shit on the sidewalk.
It's like, in the sun, like baking in the sun.
Smell like pee or like garbage ocean water. And it's like, no. It smells like nice black coffee all the time. I'm like,
sourdough and manatees.
Right, that sure. San Francisco smell. Like, not the piss car, the coffee car. Cool.
Europeans have ruined American chocolate for me because they keep talking about how this butyric acid is basically the same stuff that is in like baby vomit or whatever. And so it's like, I used to like a Hershey's bar, and now like I can't eat it without being like, yep, they're right. This sucks. God damn it. It does kind of taste like that. So yeah, they ruined it for me.
It's true. Like, our chocolate is such trash tier chocolate.
They try to like sweeten it up with this butyric acid, and it's like, but it's like on the same spectrum as just literal vomit. It's like, oh,
yeah,
cool.
Like, you can get away with it with like your Reese's peanut butter cup because it's just like more of the fake peanut butter, peanut M&Ms. It doesn't like, but when you just bite into like a Hershey bar,
Hershey's
now,
is like the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. You're just like,
don't ruin
like
s'mores for me. Come on.
I'm sorry, Jen. It's just not.
Get the dark chocolate because that's not that. I think they don't do that with that.
That's got much less baby vomit in it. It's way better for you.
You're always going to get traces of the baby vomit, but
you know, within the legal limit, of course.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Wow, we are going on some tangents. Thank you, callers. We've only done two. Let's do three. Jeff Grubb.
Yeah, let's go with E3 Style Presser.
Hi. So about a month ago, Taco Bell did like an E3 Style Presser with like a professional host and like a music act performance and everything, like the whole shebang. So I was wondering, what giant corporate soulless brand entity would you want to do an E3 style press show, and what would you want the musical act to be? Thank you. Bye.
Good.
How did we not talk over this? I don't understand.
Oh, wow. Backlog. We are guilty of dereliction of duty. We messed up. Oh, my God. We should have talked over that.
What were we doing?
I don't know. I remember watching it happen. I'm like, well, that's not real. And then finding out later it really did happen.
What the fuck's wrong with us?
I don't know.
They got the big Cheez-It and the Crunchwrap. It's... I
didn't even. It's the first I'm hearing about it.
Really?
Really?
You gotta look it up right now.
You work with us.
It looks like a Ubisoft like press conference. It really does.
I'm thinking of the right thing, right? Where they announce like a bunch of weird, or they announce that they're gonna do some like weird shit, like Baja Blast flavored.
It's called Live Moss. Oh my God.
Live Moss.
That's really good.
That's good. That's good.
Oh,
we
Jesus.
Suck, you guys. Whoa, they went for an hour? Okay.
That's good. Okay, so Crocs, I think Crocs should have their own press conference, I think.
Crocs.
Like the next gen of Crocs, and then like which of the little, what are they called, the little jewels you put on them?
Gibbets?
Yeah, giblets. I was driving with my kid the other day. I was bringing her home, and she does like, "Dad, I got to talk about something serious with you." I'm like, "What's happening?" And she's like, all the kids at my school have these charms on their shoes and I don't have any. And so I need to, I'm like, are you talking about croc giblets or whatever the hell they're called? So apparently that's, I have to start getting those now because my kid is feeling left out at school.
Oh, that's sweet.
I saw an advertisement for a Naruto branded collaboration with Crocs and Naruto, and I immediately send it to Tam, and then he replies back, no, fuck, I literally just got more Crocs, I can't get even more. I love it.
You can't just get the gibbets and put them on?
Oh, Matt, these are special because the little band that you put above
or
below.
Performance mode or speed
performance
mode.
Yeah.
Or the fuck
performance mode. Yeah. That.
It's the Hidden Leaf headband.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, see, you just got Matt. Just got
that's
Matt.
Good. I'm not buying them, but that's good.
I've still yet to be converted. I've not.
I don't have any Crocs either.
Yeah, imagine it was the, I don't fucking know, Star Platinum's arm or some shit. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the equivalent of something you've seen.
Jan, will you buy me Crocs, okay. And I'll buy you one of those Chinese handheld gaming things, and I'll bring it to you at PAX
East. Easy. There we go.
Okay,
we'll have
cool.
a little gift exchange.
Deal. I'm going to go. I'll get it. Taken care of. All right.
Oh, that's like trading soccer jerseys at the end of the match. That seems fun. Can I be a part of that?
Yeah, sure. We can do.
Who's my partner?
We can do Giant Bomb Secret Santa in July or June or whatever.
White Elephant or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems. What a lovely exchange of gifts and pleasantries.
What is the difference between a Secret Santa and a White Elephant? I
don't think anything.
Well,
a White
no.
Elephant seems more nefarious, right?
Yes. Yeah. Secret Santa is just a one-to-one gift exchange, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You get like assigned someone and you go, yes. Like, I'm Secret. Assigned Grub, and I'd be like, I got Grub this thing, and he doesn't know who's
okay.
assigned to him.
Right.
White Elephant is much more nefarious because depending on who you play with, you can steal gifts in your order. So
that sounds stressful.
It's real fucked up.
Say, like, the gift monetary limit is like, oh, this can only be up to $50. So you get something really nice, and then maybe that appeals to one of your friends specifically, but one of your other friends hates that other friend secretly. So when it's time to give that gift to someone else that hasn't been gifted yet can go and steal that gift. And they can keep stealing amongst the order.
So you can give something to someone and then take it away from them. I get why the elephants are white now. That makes sense. Okay.
Colonizing elephants.
Okay. That's interesting. There's a good episode of The Office where there's a white elephant episode, right?
That sounds right. Yeah,
I've been looking to have a sitcom in the background, and I can only watch Seinfeld so many times. I've never seen The Office in completion, but okay. I was thinking either The Office or Lost. And
that's
I know Lost
is
not a sitcom.
Yep.
And I know Lost is not a sitcom.
Yeah, The Office is not really a sitcom traditionally, but I think it's
sitcom-a-cheese.
Way closer than.
It's a comedy that is in a situation. So
I do think, but I do think a sitcom has to have like audience laughter almost.
I think there was a point in time where that was true, but I think now these days it's like, well, no, this is the evolved form of the sitcom.
Well,
sure. Traditionally,
Simpsons,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Simpsons is considered a sitcom, but there's no laugh track.
Right. Yeah.
I guess you should watch. you should watch the American version. It's a lot like The Office, actually, in that way. The American version of Ghosts on like CBS or whatever the hell it was. So you can be as surprised as I was when I'm like setting this up and I don't remember his fucking name. Your other actor friend that I've never
Alex?
Met. Yeah, he was on that show.
Yeah,
I was like watching an episode of that show. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, he's like the Fonz on
I've
it or
seen
something?
This guy. Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
You see
he doesn't
the Fonz?
Have a head or something. He like
yeah, he
they're
was,
all
like,
dead.
He was like a grease guy.
Yeah,
like,
I know that... with the thumbs. Okay, no, but he was in a generic grease Fonz. Okay,
but like like in the pilot, he like lost his head, and you haven't seen him with his head on it for like two fucking seasons, and then he shows up and they find his head, and he's like, I'm me now. Just watch that because then you can be like, whoa, look.
There you go.
I feel like I'm about to get an angry text message from someone about who he really played on this show. But, okay.
Hey, I actually watched it, so I know.
Are you like doing like the Suits thing and then like all the USA Today characters welcome shows?
I did the thing where I watched a couple episodes of Monk and I'm like, I love Monk.
I was gonna say Monk. Did you know they're making like a fucking sequel movie to Monk?
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
I got recommended that on fucking Facebook because I must have liked the Monk page when I was like an actual high schooler when I made my Facebook page.
Oh my God, that's wild.
Oh, God. Hey, I like that. That page is paying off in dividends.
Yeah, dude. 2023, Mr. Monk's last case, a Monk movie.
A Monk movie.
You watch
we need
it.
Okay, we need to make a couple lists here. We need to rank a couple things. We need to rank. So I have like different levels. Like you just put it, Jan. Like you want something in the background, right? So we need to rank like the best one of those, the best one to fall asleep to. Okay, because that's important also. Because that's how I fall asleep in my in our house. We fall asleep to TV, and we had been doing it with YouTube for a while, and certain things on YouTube work, and we've been falling asleep to Sunny. Believe it or not, I don't know how.
Oh, you would think, is a good show.
We start to fall asleep to Sunny, maybe because we knew all the episodes so well. Tried to do it with the Wet Hot American Summer Netflix show, couldn't do it. Because it was too funny and we were like, what? It was too new to us, right? Mm-hmm. So we gotta like thread the needle there. That'd be fun. Find that shit.
Yeah,
you're right. It just has to be something you watched before for the most part, right? Or at least you know most of the big jokes. I suppose it could be like something that is cultural osmosis to a certain extent. I think Frasier is one that's gonna be in the wheelhouse of a lot of these. That's one like, I bet you if you watch it, you're going to have a good time. If you put it in the background and fall asleep to it, you're also going to be fine.
Interesting.
Maybe Cheers. Maybe Cheers is the answer then.
Cheers is good. I like Cheers.
There's like 900 episodes of Cheers, so I feel
perfect.
Like that's perfect, right?
And then we can all go to the bar, Bacalar.
Buddy.
I did sign into Facebook just now because there used to be a thing where you could like, you had those liked pages, right? Or pages you followed. Do they still have that on there? Because I'm like, I would like to see what I liked back then.
You probably go to your profile or something and look at that. Right. But like every other social media, now you have a feed and it is
It's all tailored it's all buried
to
under a million
you,
things
whatever
here.
That means. Mm. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Interesting.
Movies. I logged on to Facebook recently as well. Not just now, but
everyone's like admitting their relapse. But go ahead.
But like I was scrolling through do they call it a timeline anymore? I don't know. The feed,
who knows?
Right? And everything on there was no updates from any friends or family that still use Facebook.
Right. It doesn't matter anymore.
It was all just pages. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever liked this. It was weird.
Apparently I liked the Asus Republic of Gamers page.
Well, that tracks.
And Alan Moore and a Thai restaurant from Columbus, Ohio. all this is adding up. This all looks good. Okay, fair enough. Dreamcast. I like the concept of the Sega Dreamcast.
The concept. Okay.
Yeah.
I cannot believe how many fucking businesses think it's appropriate to fucking have a Facebook page as their only means of like internet presence. You're out of your fucking mind and you're going out of business.
The audience that they're reaching is like the audience that still has the most money, like boomers. So once they all die, they're fucked. Yeah.
I was going to say like, I'm so annoyed that I saw something the other day that was like millennials are about to take that over. And it's just like, change what you're doing. Fix it.
Well, we should have taken that over a while ago, but they kept all the money, so yeah.
Of course, they're going to be buried with it, because that's how much of freaks they are.
Yep.
All right.
Real quick, what was the fucking question for the? Was this like, you want to see a press conference?
Because yes, Taco Bell press conference.
Oh, let's go.
I got one.
We're such pieces of shit, we didn't even answer it. Go ahead, Matt.
I said Clarks.
Papa John's. do you I'm thinking of like the sweaty Papa John's like up on the fucking stage.
If he was the one more thing and came back on stage,
and it's like, you know, he's rambling about like, you know, what'd he say? He ate 30 fucking pizzas in a week or something. I don't know. Just like that kind of energy in a presentation, and then they introduce products like the Taco Bell Live Mas Live thing where it's like, here's your fucking caramel flavored pizza or some shit, but
just Mr. Caffeine and him would have the same energy. Absolutely. That would be great.
I'm not joking. Like, I do think Taco Bell was like really smartly did this. I just think like
it's perfect.
I like the next brand that should do this for no reason, for no good reason, is Bass Pro Shops. Like, they should absolutely have one next.
That's a good
like, okay, like that's they're in line. Like, they're the next logical company to do that.
As maybe the most dirty hipster, recovering dirty hipster person on this website ever, I don't know why Bass Pro Shops has such a stranglehold, specifically the trucker hats, such a stranglehold all over, like,
well, Ashton
late
Kutcher,
Gen Z.
Right?
Like, no, not Ashton Kutcher. Ashton Kutcher has no influence on anyone anymore.
Not anymore. No, you're right. Like, there are certain totems, like, there are certain, like, things that happen.
Objects of power, yeah.
They're objects of power. Yes. Like, the Bass Pro Shop fucking thing. That is it. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It just is the thing.
I feel like it must have been just irony to begin with. You know, someone was like, huh, it'd be funny if I fucking
wore this. And it's the Stanley Cup now.
I feel like the Stanley Cup has actual function, though.
Oh, Jesus. You can't just say Stanley Cup. Backlar, even you? You can't just say Stanley Cup. I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? The Stanley Cup? The trophy that the NHL team wins? And the
Grub.
I know, but every time someone starts talking about these Stanley Cups, I'm confused for like 30 solid seconds.
Someone had a really good tweet and like mentioned me in it and was just like, I bet hockey fans are so bummed out about this dumbass thermos. Like, you know.
Oh.
But yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
A little. I'm a little bummed out.
I am. I'm not happy about it. You know? It's a thermos. It's not even a cup.
Yeah. That is just like out of TikTok, right? Or Instagram, sure. Maybe.
But that is just another Bass Pro Shop hat, right? Like,
yeah, you're right. They're almost exactly equivalent. Like, Bass Pro Shop, sort of the masculine, and the Stanley Cup, the feminine. Yeah, they complement one another really well.
Yin and Yang.
The yin and yang. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
They are objects of power. You are 100% right. That is the perfect
one
way to
describe them.
One cannot
exist without the other.
Uh huh.
Totally. All right, I feel better that we answered the voicemail.
I said Crocs. It's just going to get dismissed this entire time. All right.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, Crocs. Great. That's good. It's a good answer. Good answer. And thank you, caller. All right. I will go next. And of course, I will pick Hockey Gets Outlawed.
Sub Dumpers, did you know that in Jason X, the 10, however you say it, apparently the year 2024 is the year hockey gets outlawed. I hope Backlar's okay. Bye.
Oh, please elaborate, because I am unaware of this fictional situation.
Oh my God, you need to watch Jason X yesterday.
Does it have something to do with the mask? Like, hockey? Where's the
does.
Doesn't he have, like, a bladed hockey stick in one of the movies, too? Like, doesn't he get that eventually?
That's the kind of shit that would happen in real life. It's like one dude would be like, I've got a hockey stick that I murder people with, and they'd go,
right.
Hockey is over now.
We have to eliminate hockey.
I could be thinking of, like, the Sub-Zero character from Running Man. He had a bladed hockey stick. Okay, if this happens, I'm a little bit more okay with it than I would have been, because have you guys seen the football played on ice? That these people are like, they're like doing like the careful steps, but like once someone really starts going, everyone's trying to turn around really quick to go capture them, and they just all eat shit constantly, and it's just football, but on ice.
And they're obviously not wearing skates.
No, they're running. Yeah, they're just running.
But they have pads and helmets and stuff, so they're
right.
Don't
so it's like a slow
dive.
Motion train wreck, because like they can only get so much speed immediately.
I don't want that.
It's fantastic. I'm like, I would be so good at that, because I spent so much time delivering food in the winter in Ohio and having to walk up people's slippery sidewalks and like figuring out how to like make that work. I would be great at it. So I kind of want to play. Now I break my hip in like the third like play, but I still want to try.
I'm so anti like. Watching people eat shit makes me laugh. Like, that just doesn't happen for me, but like something about that sounds really appealing.
I don't like the idea of someone getting hurt, like just actually walking on a slippery sidewalk is terrifying, makes me feel all kinds of empathy. But in this situation, it's like, no, this is like part of the sport here is, first of all, they're in complete pads. So it's like people are falling down. They're not getting hurt. That's a big part of it.
Right.
But also, it's just like the art of staying up on ice. There is something athletic about it, and so making that part of the sport is fun.
I love that.
It's a really cool thing. I'm gonna see if I can find the clip of it.
No, this is a good prompt, caller. Thank you for the call. I like when movies and or fiction suggest very trivial things that are like wild, but we all accept it, right? God. Like, so if someone could really someone in chat was like, oh, they offhand mentioned hockey's been banned in Jason X. But like, I love that. That's so fun. I love that because, yeah, go ahead.
Have y'all seen the movie Yesterday? It's the movie where the Beatles didn't exist.
I've seen parts of it on TV a couple times down the last year.
No, the movie where the Beatles didn't exist?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes, I know about that.
Yeah. No. The guy wakes up and the Beatles don't exist and he like starts singing all their songs. I'm like, you're so impressed. That's as much as I've seen, Jan. I don't know what happens after that.
Yes. It exactly that. It's exactly what Grubb said.
And then doesn't he like, I'm sorry, I don't want to say.
He goes friends with Ed Sheeran. I do know that as well. Okay. So I know that as well.
It's like there's such a great scene where like he enters in a songwriting competition on the spot against Ed Sheeran. And then this guy is just remembering all of the Beatles music, right? So then he just uses a Beatles song and then sings it in front of everyone. And then Ed Sheeran just mopes and like, all right, mate, I guess you're the best songwriter in history. And then walks away.
That's what's amazing is that he lives in a world, this is only my like surface level understanding of what the movie is. He lives in a world where no one has a memory of the Beatles except for him. Well, and then he's just like, cool, I'll just redo it for everyone.
Yeah.
So there's like two other people that remember the Beatles and they confront him about it in the movie. Sorry, spoilers for Yesterday.
Please, please do it.
It's a big drama that they're building up. And then when they get to that scene, he thinks like, oh, they're going to expose me and everything. My career's done. I shouldn't have been plagiarizing to begin with. They were just like, oh, thanks, mate. We just missed these songs and we're glad you can sing them. But the other implications in this movie is that not only do the Beatles not exist, neither does Coca-Cola or cigarettes.
Huh.
That is intertwined. Crazy. What is the implication
there? That's crazy.
So the implication is that because the Beatles didn't fuck off and go smoke a bunch of cigarettes and drink a bunch of soda pop, they never got together and form the band The Beatles. Because they exist in the universe.
That led to The Beatles.
Yeah,
okay.
The premise is not that The Beatles don't exist. It's that the cigarettes and Coca-Cola don't exist.
Yes.
A movie made by a child.
And then, it's Danny Boyle, though.
Yeah, it's a Danny Boyle movie.
Danny Boyle? He didn't write it.
I don't think he wrote it, but he directed it. It's like, yeah, I'll sign off on this.
Hey, a paycheck's a paycheck, but like, oh my God.
I love that this movie's only like 5 years old and all of you were like, wow, you don't know anything about this movie. Like, it's like it was a fucking classic. Like, I should know. I should have seen it in a film class.
Yeah, and I hate being that way too. So yeah, good call out. You're right.
I'm not trying to give you shit. I'm just screwing around.
But also it's like, it's something about it when it happened was just like, what? How does a movie like this even happen? And I guess it's because Danny Boyle directs it, so they like give it a chance. But in the time, I was just like, could not fathom how this was like a whole movie on its own. Because it's like, this guy remembers the Beatles, and that's going to be the thing. And I wanted to see it, and then reviews were kind of lukewarm on it. I don't know.
Oh, my God. And then the other thing that popped out of this movie is in one of the trailers, they heavily featured Ana de Armas. But in reality, she's only in the movie for like a minute. And then all these Ana de Armas fans,
they shoot him.
Yes, they freaked the fuck out because they were like,
a class action lawsuit.
There was a class action lawsuit from Ana de Armas fans because they assumed and went to this movie thinking she was a big part of it.
To be clear, I'm in that class of Ana de Armas fans.
Maybe I've heard of this. I just didn't know the movie.
I forgot it was this movie too.
Yesterday's is great. The guy is really good and he's very charming. Also,
yeah, he is charming. That's a good point. That is why I started watching. It was on TV like last week and I was like watching a little bit of it. And I'm like, oh, this guy's just good. What else is he in?
He's in Tenet.
That's what it is. Tenet. Yeah. I'm all aboard on Tenet these days. I've come back around. It's like, it's nonsense and I love it.
The person who wrote this film also wrote Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh,
Bridget Jones's Diary, Love Actually.
So the bangers.
I'm so speechless. Like, I just cannot believe, like, I remember seeing this trailer in the theater and just mm-hmm. looking over at Stace and just like not saying it out loud, because I think we were there for like a kid's movie, but like mouthing like, what the fuck, like that, you know. So weird. Very strange.
Real quick, I found the clip of the guys playing ice football, and one time the guy gets out ahead of everybody, and it's I think it's German, and this German guy just turns around and just flicks the guy off as he's running into the end zone, and it owns. It's so great. I love it so much. I want to play this so bad.
No, girl, come on. You want to do this?
Yes.
You want to run on ice?
Yes. It's like a skill that I kind of half have. What can I do with it?
Wait, you have a history of running on ice?
I got pretty quick at moving on ice, because like Columbus would get soil, like sheets of ice, and I'd have to work outside. So yeah.
Damn. Okay.
You know,
damn,
the way that I looked at that clip that was sent in the chat, and it looked like the way they were moving, you could probably have like a thick full body suit on to protect yourself and still move as much as they were moving. So maybe like that, it'd be okay. But
yeah, totally. I think that. The pads they're wearing look pretty, like they're wearing like hockey pads and stuff like that, the hockey pants, and that's going to help with falling down. So, yeah.
All right. Come to PAX and see us run ice flag football.
Live.
All right, I'm planning it. I'll call up an ice
rink.
I'm
going to start singing Beatles songs and claiming that the Beatles didn't exist.
Well, thank you, caller. We went to chat for the next voicemail, and chat chose quitting your job.
Dumpers, Dylan from Northeast Ohio here. How you doing? So I just put in my notice at work six. I got a new job, and, you know, like, you always have the dream of, like, you know, like, fuck, this place has been so shitty lately. I just want to, like, do something dramatic, and then, you know, I don't do it. I'm going to be professional or whatever. But serious, do any of you have a fun quitting your job story? Anything dramatic, anything you've done, anyone you've seen do something dramatic? All right, love you all. Hope you have a great day. Peace.
When I was probably like 16, and I worked at Burger King for a little bit, and I like got a job because I like walked in this Burger King for my other job, and it wasn't open yet. And the guy's like, "You want a job?" And so we started working there. And you know, this is a quick side note. That guy was probably about 35 to 40 at that time. And the guy I went in there with, eventually his much younger sister worked there. And then years later, they got married, and she was like when we started working there, she was probably like 9 or 10. And then eventually they got married like years later. So weird guy. And then,
I wish I didn't hear that.
Yeah. It was not great. He hired this like really shitty, assistant manager. And the guy was kind of like, I have a little bit of an attitude with authority. Mike will tell you it's a big attitude with authority, but it's a little attitude.
I feel
you know, this guy was poking and prodding me a little bit. And so he's like, you know, I just need you to go like do something. And he would touch my shoulder. And I'm like, no, don't touch me again. And he touched my shoulder. I'm like, I just stopped. I quit right there. And I walked out. And he's like, well, you're not really quitting. And I'm like, no, I really am. And I left, and it felt really good in the moment. And then I just didn't have a job for a while. So that kind of sucked, but it was, yeah. Like that was the most like dramatic version of me walking out of a place.
I like that.
Wait, he married his sister?
No, sorry.
No.
No. The guy I went in there with had a younger sister, and she would eventually work there. The guy that hired us, who was 35 or to 40 at the time that he hired us, so she was like 10 at that time. So we're talking like 25-year difference in age at that. Well, always. Eventually, many years later, they would get married.
Which is a
Burger King fairy tale.
it's a royal wedding. It is.
Oh, that's where dreams come true, don't they?
Yeah, all my dreams came true at that Burger King. That's damn right. People would come through the drive-thru there, and my friends would know I was working, and they would order stuff grub style, and that would mean I would put free stuff in there, extra free food. So, because you could hear it over the speaker, and I'd be like making the sandwiches and stuff. That was that was
you're
good
fun.
Time.
You're the best.
Oh yeah, tried to hook my boys up.
Hey, good boy.
I've told my Taco Bell story where I just jumped out the drive-thru window into a friend's car.
Hell yeah,
love that.
Hell yeah.
You have to. That is where you should do the thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to endorse like burning bridges later on in life. Like maybe don't do that.
You know, I don't have a good one for working, but you saying you jumped out a, did you say Taco Bell window?
Yes.
It reminded me of something similar when I was graduating high school, my like last day of classes in a the second floor of a building. The building layout's really fucking weird. It's very long, but there's a couple of areas that have two floors or whatever. Instead of leaving out the front door on my last day of classes, I jumped out the window onto the roof that was next to it and left that way. And I never saw that teacher again. So I don't know if that mattered or if she got in trouble or... but it reminded me of what you said, so that's the closest thing I got.
Windows are great.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, windows are great. They're just fucking walls.
Yeah. That's just doors with like no a little like a ramp you got to get over, yeah.
Damn, dude, doors are just walls that move. Fuck.
Yeah, that's right. Walls that move.
Anything's a door if you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then you land among the stars.
Exactly.
Walt Whitman said that, yeah.
That's the takeaway from this episode. We have barely done any, but we're going to have to make this the last one. And our special guest is going to get to choose the last voicemail of the day. Mr. Shipman, if you would, please.
Oh, shit. Okay. There's some good ones in here, but let's go with Eat in the Shower.
Hey, Dumpers. Colin from Bel Air, Maryland calling. Question for you guys. What is the worst food to eat in the shower? All right. Love you guys.
Spaghetti.
Doritos.
Oh,
a plate of spaghetti.
I was going to go soup.
Yeah, soup's gross because then that shit's overflowing very quickly, and that's deeply upsetting.
Yeah. Wet noodles is deeply upsetting to me.
Yeah, that's bad, too.
I don't know why my first thought was fucking, like, I thought of Doritos because I'm thinking of the dust, like, being on your fingers and then getting, the water hits it, like, goes down your body.
Oh, yeah. And it's everywhere. Like a body wash crevice. Dorito style. Yeah.
Oh, they probably make that, don't they? Cool Ranch body wash or some shit. Yeah.
If not, we just invented it.
I got some in the back of my trunk. I'll sell it to you later. Yeah.
When you get to the bottom of the bag of Doritos, you get the little crummies and you do the thing where you, like, shovel it in your mouth. If any fall, you can use those to exfoliate your body.
Ugh. Just slicing your skin up.
Jin, you sick fuck.
Cool.
God damn. You know, I think the answer to this very important voicemail is all food in the shower.
I think, an apple, I think I would be okay with eating in the shower. What is the food that you would be most okay with eating in the shower?
Not an apple, because my reasoning... And then, Jerf, I want to hear yours, but I don't want to take a hot shower and bite into a cold apple.
Well, my showers are kind of cooler. I'm on the cooler side of the shower. Okay. So that helps. That informs
your apples
my decision
hot,
there.
Though? Cause...
Yeah, I do. I microwave my apples, absolutely. Oh my God. Man, what a fucked up thing someone could do is microwave an apple and bite into it.
We all have the power.
Dude, that's such a great way to introduce a character. Just a dude... in his fucking robe, right? Getting ready to shower.
Take an apple, put it in the microwave. Just puts it in his cup and just walks in the shower. Yep.
You're like, all right, I know everything I need to know about this character in the first 10 seconds.
He's a murderer,
seconds.
Clearly.
I understand why you think an apple would be mostly okay, but...
Closest to okay.
What's that?
Close. I don't think it's not mostly okay, but it's the closest to okay.
Yeah, it's low stakes, right? Yeah. Low stakes for sure. But for me, I don't know if anyone else eats an apple this way, but an apple's got a built-in stand, right? That thing just when I eat an apple at the desk here, I take a bite and I just sit it on its core. You know, I'm just like, you're not going to go anywhere. Yeah, you are spherical in nature. But
yeah, I wouldn't do that. No.
Right?
There's something about that sounds fucking crazy, and then the other part of me is apples take so fucking long to eat, so you gotta put it down, you gotta stop, you gotta take breaks,
yeah, of course.
So 20 fucking minutes here.
I'm thinking of the smaller sized, not Cosmic Crisp, what's the Honey Crisp, if you're trying to save money, you get just get the small ones. I eat those pretty quick. I'm and I could see myself kind of sitting in the shower, maybe eating that, being like, okay, I'm done. And then reaching out and throwing out the core. And I'd be like, all right, no harm, no foul there. If I did have to set it down, I would just throw it out. Yeah, slam a jam at the core.
Dude, how quick? How quick is quick, though? I'm sorry, because I'm, like, real on to apples taking fucking forever to eat. I don't know why.
No, quick. We're talking, like, 2-3 minutes at the most.
Yeah, so you're eating those, like, racquetball-sized apples.
There are bigger ones, but I would not take the big one into the shower. That does seem fucking insane.
Oh, dude, for sure. When I open the fruit drawer, right, like, I'm sizing up all these motherfuckers. Yeah. I'm like, all right, who's gonna get, like, there's a situation I'm in right now.
Yeah, you're the shower-sized apple right there.
Where's my shower? It's like a caddy going into the golf bag. Yeah. You gotta know what kind of fucking instrument you need to be using, right?
Yeah. And something about the peel, so that, like, when the shower, like, mist is, like, hitting it, I know I'm still biting into the peel, but something about it makes it feel like it's more protected.
No, you're fine. It's totally fine, because you can wash apples on the outside and still eat it. Nothing is affected. And the inside is juicy, so, like,
right. it's already wet. Yeah.
Yeah, getting any more liquid in there, it's just water. Like, it'll just make it taste a little worse, but you're right. That's why bobbing for apples is a thing. Right?
Yeah, sure. Good point.
Yep. I mean, look, we're having an educational conversation about apples, and we're keeping Mike Minotti at bay. What's not to like here?
He's not happy about any of this.
I think eating corn on the cob may actually be the worst.
Sandwich would be the worst.
You need a sandwich. You could one hand a sandwich, right?
Okay, you're right. So if you're, like, talking about, you don't have to stand in the water, and you don't have to let the water hit the food. You are still allowed to, like, be a human being and, like, hold it to the side.
Yeah. Are you lathering with the other hand? Like, why do you need both hands?
Well, because I feel like to eat the corn on the cob properly, you need both hands for full corn control.
I don't know. I think you're underestimating just how waterproof corn on the cob can be.
Okay.
You know, like, I think if you hold it from the bottom and just sort of use it like a microphone and just kind of do it that way,
pretty slippery, though. We're adding in more
butter
water
and the salt.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
You definitely have, like, the bits that get stuck in your teeth would just be, like, on the ground or on your fucking feet or something.
Yeah, that would suck. You should maybe subconsciously, like, feel bad about what's in between my teeth. Like, yeah, no, go. Yeah.
We can all agree that, like, anything bread based is obviously a bad choice because you're just going to get sogginess and it's just going to be
wet bread is, like, I think, like, very low on the tier of things in my life I want to deal with.
Wet sandwich is garbage. Like, you're
it literally
is just throwing,
like,
that out.
It might as well be in the trash can already.
Maybe you salvage the meat, but that's about it.
I'm being reminded of a thing I wanted to call into the show about, but you addressed it eventually. It was the tuna pie.
Yeah, huh?
Oh, man, we were having a good show.
You mentioned tuna,
dude,
and you're, like, bread-based, and I'm just talking about sandwiches, and I'm like, and I just was thinking, fucking dude, it's just a tuna fish sandwich. It's the same thing. I don't know why that's making you so upset.
It's my teriyaki moment, okay?
Did you have a bad experience?
No, I think it's just, like, that is naturally what it does to me. Like,
I've never... Not like tuna salad, though.
No, because what time were, like, I ate lunch and I came back from, like, when I meet him, I had a tuna fish sandwich. And he was like, ew. I was like, man, I'm sorry. I didn't, like, just trying to get my food.
Look, I'm very much, I'm aware that I'm, like, you know, disproportionately a piece of shit about tuna.
Hey, live your truth, man. It's fine. It's fine.
It is so unappealing to me. I don't know what, I have a irrational hatred for tuna fish. I like tuna steak. I like that.
Oh, sure.
I love the sushi grade ahi. Of course, who doesn't?
They're not the same.
They're not the same.
As someone who likes both, it's not the same.
It's like comparing a fucking pizza to a frozen pizza. Like, they are different products.
I think it's even like a greater distance than that, because DiGiorno, you might as well be delivery. Am I right? You guys can sponsor us, please, DiGiorno, please.
Please. I'm sorry. It is a disproportionate thing. I think it also has to do with the fact of how much my wife loves it and how often I'm met face to face with it in my own home.
Is it the mayo factor? The mustard factor? Okay, I think we got it.
That's not helping.
We got him.
I think I can
make a tuna fish sandwich right after this. That sounds great.
Back, Laura, how do you feel about chicken salad?
I don't love it, but it's a much better compromise.
It is the tuna fish that is part of this equation, though.
Because okay. I like mayo too. Like I'm a mayo fan. Like I enjoy making my own hot sauce with mayo sometimes. Like let's
okay.
go.
Okay.
You know, putting that shit on grilled cheese.
What's the hot sauce process? You like make it like buffalo sauce or something? Is that made with mayo?
That's a good question. Thanks for asking, Jeff. So what I do is sometimes it's like sriracha. Sometimes it's like a Frank's combination of all different, you know, spices, whatnot, throw it in there. And then the secret is a little bit of brown sugar. Pepper that in there a little bit. Mix it all up in a little ramekin.
It sounds like you're because in business. Of tuna.
And you're in business. folks, you know?
I do have a request, just because of how outlandish it was, that we play Specific People 2.
Sure. Yeah. I was actually going to check in with you before we said goodbye.
You don't need Specific People 1? Before that?
It was a completely good, fine, great voicemail. Specific People 2 just sings a little bit more.
Yeah, I trust you.
Hey, Dumpers, Olive again. I just wanted to apologize for the airplane noise in the background of my phone call. A plane just crashed near my house, and the traffic has been crazy, so otherwise, yay, Bellatro, accomplishments, yay, bye.
Perfect voicemail. Literally the most perfect voicemail we've ever received. Holy shit.
What was the last part? Yay what?
Yay Bellatro achievements. She's like, the plane crashed near my house. Lots of traffic. Bellatro rules. And all that I agree with.
Mm.
Especially the plane crashing part.
What? Like a passenger?
I don't know.
Is it talked about in Specific People 1?
No.
Do you
not
hear it though? Do you hear West, a plane crash?
West Nashville, Olive Tapanade said.
Do you West have, is this going to be like in the FAA is going to have to come take this and confiscate it as evidence?
It was a small propeller plane, which we don't care about. So that's
the people in those aren't real people. Yeah.
I hope everyone's okay. God damn, that's insane.
Yeah, the thing is, I went back and listened to the first voicemail, which has nothing to do with a plane crash, and I don't hear an airplane sound at all.
Oh, weird. Oh, that's terrible.
So the Specific People was from the same person?
Yes.
Okay, I see.
That is weird. I guess you can make the perfect voicemail. You're right, Jeff Grubb.
Nailed it.
God damn. Okay, well, that's going to have to do it. This has been the voicemail dump truck 707. Exit flu is the phone number. We're talking about a very pink Jeff Grubb. If you're watching the video version of the program, you can do that on jaibond.com or our YouTube channel. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me thank Mr. Matt Shipman for joining the program today. Where can we see, find you, and hear you, Matt?
Thanks for having me. sorry, I saw a flash of lightning outside. Ah, thunder. Damn.
Oh, I heard
that?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been pretty bad.
Some soundproof room you're in.
My poor dog is fucking terrified. That's what my wife was just like, our dog was squeezed behind the washing machine and she's covered in dust now. And I just want to let you know. I'm like, okay. but you can find me on the internet and shit. Look up my name. Twitter.com, Instagram.com, all the .coms. I'm working on a show right now called, I'm not going to explain it, Hokkaido Gals Are Super Adorable. I play the main guy in it, and it's a comedy. It's a rom-com. It's fun. Check it out. It's on Crunchyroll.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's it.
Matt, there was a specific thing you said you wanted to plug last time we spoke.
I don't even remember.
Are you not doing it? This is the time to do it.
What was it? Ultraman.
I'm fucking...
You forgot again.
Dude, all right, so this is the second time I've been on a Giant Bomb thing since I've become an Ultraman. Like, my primary contribution to this website is a fucking Power Rangers podcast. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I got cast as an Ultraman. We're dubbing the Ultraman shows, and I am Ultraman in Ultraman Z. I'm the...
Hell yeah.
That one. And I haven't fucking talked about it on here yet.
That rules.
So, yeah, watch that. That's all on YouTube for free, because Super Eye is the best fucking tokusatsu company ever. Check it out. It's fun.
That's awesome. That really is fun. I will watch that. That's fantastic.
Good shit. Well, none of us can top that, so we'll just allow you to hear the voicemail. Dub Drug, phone number 707 exit flu. Thank you, Jan Ochoa. Thank you, Jeff Grubb. And of course, yes, and thank you, Purple Grubb. And of course, Matt. We'll be back next week with a brand new show, and hopefully not my dad. See you then.